Today is my daughter's fourth birthday, and so I thought it was a really apt opportunity to talk about watching her go through open heart surgery and what that taught me. When you look at this feisty, strong four-year-old today, little girl, you would never think that once upon a time she was this fragile, tiny little being who just wasn't growing. In fact, her nickname is Tiny because she really was so tiny. She is no longer so tiny, but she really was just this, as I say, this fragile little being. She was born 2 weeks into hard lockdown. She was born into not quite masks even by that stage. It was so early on, but into just being us, just being our small little family. And by 3 months old, we had had all this focus on her arriving in this time of hard lockdown, but we started to realize that there was something not quite right. She was on the red line for the growth chart. She wasn't growing at all. We had treated her for thrush. We treated her for a tongue tie, but she wasn't growing because she had a hole in her heart. And here we were in the middle of a pandemic with this tiny, fragile little girl, and we found out that she had a hole in her heart. And today I just wanted to talk about what I learned from this little girl, from the process of getting her through her open heart surgery, about how we can stay on track when things are thrown at us that we don't expect. Are you overwhelmed by the juggle of trying to fit it all in? Do you long to be more present, but you just find yourself reacting to life rather than being in control of it? Are you desperate for some me time in amongst the chaos? I'm Charlotte, a personal trainer, coach, mum, and wife who works because I love my job. I was living the absolutely chaotic life of working full-time, managing the emotional and mental load, trying to meet everyone's needs while completely forgetting about my own. And I finally realized that if I was going to enjoy my work and this journey of motherhood, I needed to set boundaries and make choices that would make me feel more in control, would make me feel healthier and happier so that I could work and mother the way that I wanted to. If you want to create a way of being that allows you to get your work done and be the mum you want to while earning an income and finding joy in your work, I'm so glad you're here. So put away that laptop, tie up your mum bun and lock the bathroom door. We're learning how to juggle. So what happens to you when you find out something that throws you off course? Whether that might be that there's no milk in the fridge this morning and you didn't expect that, or whether it might be something like the fact that your child has a hole in their heart. This is just it. This is just the point, is that we get thrown off course. We end up losing track of our time as a result because we are distracted, we're anxious, panicked, we're unable to be fully present and engaged in the tasks at hand. And I am so excited to be running a workshop, a free workshop on the 23rd of April that will help you to understand why this happens, why it happened to me mid-COVID with the news about Sierra's hole in her heart, why it has happened to me in the morning when I found out that there's no milk in the fridge, why it happens to you when things come at you that throw you off track, and what you can do to build your capacity so that you have more energy and you have the ability to focus in these instances to be able to do what needs to be done. When you are able to put some tactical strategies in place that help you to focus, help you to renew that inner battery, you can then meet everyone's needs. And you might even, surprisingly, be able to find some time where you can do something that brings you joy. Whether that be doing some exercise, whether it be reading a book, whether it be going to the loo on your own, it's something that you can do for yourself in amongst everything else that you're running around doing. So I would really love to invite you and anyone else you think might benefit to come and join us at this free workshop. It is just the most brilliant place to learn A, that you're not alone, and B, just some tools to help you in this season of juggle, in this time of busyness. So go to bit.ly/takebacktimeworkshop and book your place for this free workshop. I can't wait to see you there. I can't wait to share all the things that I've learned, all the things I share with clients. If you can't make it, there will be a replay, so book your place anyway, and you'll get an email with all the information about how you can watch the replay, how you can be involved, even if the time doesn't suit you. But for now, I just wanted to go back to the story about Sierra and about this experience of her process of going through open heart surgery. After 2 years of waiting, from that moment when we found out that she had this hole in her heart, to this point on the 9th of June 2022 at 7:20 a.m. in the morning, I watched my little two-year-old daughter be wheeled into theater at the Christian Barnard Hospital here in Cape Town to undergo this open heart surgery, this huge thing where they were going to open her up, go in and patch up this hole that was causing her inability to grow on her own, to function properly. I was absolutely in awe as I watched this little girl. She went through the echo that they did the day before, the x-rays that they needed to do that night, the blood tests. And over the few days post-surgery, I watched her be extubated. I watched her have drainage pipes removed. I watched her start eating again. I watched her singing and chatting, I think mostly as a result of the drugs that she was on. But within 5 days of surgery, I watched that little girl come out of the ICU and come home to our home where I had no nurses, where I had nobody to help my anxiety around looking after her. But within a week, she was running around. She was playing with her brother again as if nothing had ever happened. And every now and again, I know we're 2 years in, but even now, I often have to lift up her top to see her scar to remind me that actually this little person went through this huge process. And watching her go through that made me really think about how we face challenges in our lives and what makes us able to cope. What makes us able to stay on track when these things get thrown at us? I thought a lot about the fact that this little girl was just doing what felt right to her each day because she had absolutely no preconceived idea that she had really gone through any kind of ordeal. We would have gone in to have the surgery and understood what was happening, understood the magnitude of what we were going through. But her lack of understanding about the situation and perhaps about how she should be behaving after something like this meant that in her recovery, she was completely led by her own capacity. Her recovery took place at her own pace when she felt like she could get up again, when she felt like she could run again. I remember her running down the passage and someone shouting after her, "Don't run, Tiny!" And she just kind of looked back at them with surprise as if to say, "What's the problem?" and turned around and carried on running. She felt so good. She felt like she wanted to play it. So why shouldn't she do the things that she felt that she could do? And the stories we've created in our minds about who we are, about what we should be doing, what we should be able to do, how we should be living our lives, she didn't have those at that point. But I have them now at 42 now. And I was looking at the difference between us and I was thinking about how these stories are built on the words we hear from others, the experiences we've had, the survival strategies we've created to get by in the world with the least criticism made of us or the least harm done to us. And so we've forgotten how to do things at our pace, in our timing, at our rhythm, and with the wonder, with the peace and the joy that I just saw on this little face as she got stronger and she got more able to do the things that she loves. I remember as I sat through my own anxiety of what I should be doing in this process, how I should be showing up for her, how I should be showing up for my son, for my husband, in my work, in my day-to-day life, I took some time to think about how she had got knocked down so physically by the surgery for a few days, but how her spirit, the kind of essence of her was so strong, was so completely unaffected by the shoulds that I was basing my behavior on, that were based on the stories I've heard about my life, about how I should be. You may have heard about Brené Brown, who I've talked about in other episodes before, and who I really value her research, value her knowledge, and just her contribution to the way that I think and the way that I see things. She is really well known for her research on shame and vulnerability and on leadership. And one of her most favorite pieces of work for me is around the theme of the arena. She talks about how each one of us has an arena of our lives, which is where we show up, or where we would show up or could show up as the person that we were made to be, or the person that we can be, almost like if we were standing fully in our arena, we would be really fully reaching our potential. So she talks about how each of us has this arena, but how many of us don't even step into our potential arena. Most of us are actually standing at the chute into the arena, or we could be miles away from that potential. If we do manage to get inside, the show that we put on when we're standing in that space is sometimes only a fraction of what that show could be. And she says that this is because of three voices that either stop us at the entry, keep us in the chute, or keep us far away from the arena, or that if we are inside it, actually just are constantly shouting at us to be quiet, to make ourselves less than, to be what they think we should be. And these are the three voices of shame, scarcity, and comparison. And Brown believes that we all experience the words of these voices to some extent or another. We're all living with the voices of shame, scarcity, and comparison in our lives. She talks about how these voices have a seat in the bleachers of our arena. And if we let them control our performance, let them control how we show up, they can hold us back from being and doing all that we can, all that potential that we have when we come into this world, and just that we have naturally and that we learn and grow into, or could grow into. It's when we recognize these voices, we see them and we say, yes, absolutely, I see you shame, I see you scarcity, I see you comparison, instead of pushing them away, but actually offering them a seat in our arena, giving them a box of popcorn and a bottle of Coke, and saying, thanks very much, but actually, I'm not going to take heed of your shouting. I'm just going to ask you to please be quiet. You can sit here. I recognize that you're here, but I'm going to ask you to please keep quiet so that I can actually hear the roars of encouragement and excitement from the rest of the crowd who are cheering me on, who are, you know, who want to hear from me, who are excited to see my performance. And so when I thought about Sierra and just how she was showing up in her arena as this little girl who didn't yet hear shame and scarcity and comparison, I thought about my own life and my own strength and resilience as a woman and how I show up in my arena. I thought about how, as she recovered, she wasn't prohibited by the voices of this world. She wasn't held back by the shoulds or the musts, but was rather then, and still is today, as this healthy 4-year-old little girl, she's completely living to the beat of her little drum. She is living to her rhythm. She is dressing the way that she wants to. She's showing up as the essence of that little girl in the center of her arena. And over the years since her surgery, I've thought about how the beat of my drum has changed to meet the expectations of others, those voices that have come in now, those voices of shame and scarcity and comparison that have come from experiences that I've had, from stories that I've heard about what I should be or what I shouldn't be. I've thought also about the strength that it might take to say to them, you know, thanks very much for your input, but actually, I think I can make my own decisions now about how I show up. I can make my decisions now about how I create my own music, the music that makes my heart sing and my feet dance as I stand in the center of my arena and I give the world all that I can, so that from here I can just get joy and wonder out of life like that little girl does. And when I watch her so freely do life, I start to think about what I do have and want to do, that the things that are perhaps hard for me to do, but which will make me the person that I want to be. It's in saying thanks to those voices, but pipe down, that will allow me to be more present in my work, that will allow me to be more present with my children, so that I don't lose out on the opportunities for my business to grow, or for me to watch them grow up and to get to really know the people that they are. I want to be more focused and more intentional rather than scattered and frenetic, so that I can really give attention to my relationships with my husband and with my family, with my friends, with my colleagues, with my clients. I want to be kinder. I want to be more compassionate to others. I want to be less worried about what others might think and more excited about giving of myself to the world in the crazy uniqueness that is me, in the ways that I am different to what everybody else is like. I want to stand in the middle of my arena and be the little girl I once was, who was talkative, who was dramatic, who was fun, who thought that she was pretty cool, who didn't mind what anybody else thought, who didn't suffer from those voices of shame and scarcity and comparison. And I've recognized these longings in me through taking time, as I've often said in my episodes, to be curious. And today, as you think about how you might be that little girl, I really want to invite you to be curious about who you are. What makes you, you? For a couple of minutes, when you have a moment at some point in your day today or in the next couple of days, take a few minutes to think about the little girl inside you. That little girl who was once free of the shoulds and the musts, who was free of the shame and the comparison and the scarcity of this world. What was she like, that little girl? What is she like today? If you have a picture of yourself as a little girl, maybe go and find it. Or if you have an image of her in your mind, picture her. What is she good at? What brings her joy? What makes her laugh? As you get to know her, as you take time to picture her and get to know all those things, feel what it's like to be that little girl. What does it feel like to do the things that she loves to do without worrying about judgment or about fear of failing? And with that feeling, how much more do you feel like you can stand in the center of your arena? How much more do you feel like you can stay on your path? You can keep running the race in that arena. I mean, I'm now splitting analogies all over the place, but with the shout of the crowd just drowning out the shouts of shame and scarcity and comparison, but just saying, yes, you are amazing. You give something so special to this world. You are unique. Like that little girl who just got up off the bed, got up off the sofa when she felt like she could do it without needing me to say, you're well enough to do it. It's such a joy for me when I see my clients getting to know that little girl and living in the freedom of just stepping out boldly and confidently with no preconceived ideas of what is safe and what is not safe, just so comfortable in what they're capable of. One of the greatest blessings, I really believe, is when we can live like this. We are so much more able to be present. We can be productive. We can live our lives intentionally. We're not held back by fear or anxiety or the crippling voices in our heads. We can find that balance between what we can do and what we love to do. We're not so much living in what we should do and what we shouldn't do, what we must be or what we mustn't be. We can just live in freedom to be, in freedom to do the things that bring us joy, as well as the things we have to do. I mean, there are things that we have to do, but finding productivity and getting those things done and getting up and doing the things we also love to do. We are going to be talking so much more about what holds us back from getting things done, what causes us to experience the overwhelm and the anxiety that comes with ongoing stress in this free workshop that I was talking about earlier, this Take Back Your Time workshop on the 23rd of April that I really invite you to come and join us at. It's just the most wonderful opportunity to take some time for you. Take some time to come and get a bit of free training, learn a little bit more. I really encourage you to come and join us. Invite others who you think might need this. If you have any questions about it, please don't hesitate to contact me on info@charlottehaggie.com. And for now, have fun getting to know your little girl. Have fun feeling what it feels like to be her. Give her some freedom to show up in your day-to-day. Let her run your week. Let her show you what it's like to feel excitement about your day when you wake up in the morning. And notice what it's like when you are in this state. How much more productive you can be when you are actually living in that place that you are meant to be, where the little girl is happy, is excited, is calm, is joyful, is free, rather than living under the burden of all of these voices. We can be so much more productive. We can be so much more able to be present. And so, yeah, just have fun with it. Note any observations you make about it. And I would love, love, love for you to come and share in our Facebook community what it has felt like for you to step into your arena, to be your little girl. Come and share with us in the Facebook group. The link is in the show notes below. Join us in that group where we share, where we learn from each other, where I encourage and give other tips, tools, things that might be useful to you in this journey as we carry on day by day juggling it all. I so hope that this episode has given you something to think about or something to help support you in this journey of working motherhood. If so, would you take 30 seconds to share it with another mum who may need some help in managing it all? I would also be thrilled if you would go to Apple Podcasts and leave a written review there. This way, I know that what I'm offering is making a difference, and this is what I long to do. I hope you have a great week, and I'll see you back here on Tuesday.